The Promise. Commentary for the May 21st, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry. www.visitstillwaters.com. God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Genesis 17, verses 15 through 17. Have you ever gone walking in a town that was unknown to you? At some point, you come to a corner. The wall prevents you from seeing what is around that corner. Is it something bad? Something good? Or nothing unusual at all? Those who have experience with role-playing games know that it could well conceal a waiting band of kobolds ready to take your life and your belongings. For those unwilling to have their wits sharpened by fantasy games, in our cities it could just as easily be human gang members intent on the same activity. The news is filled with stories of those who have become unsuspecting prey under similar circumstances. Fantasy often mimics real life. However, there could be something good around that corner. We could run into someone who will become a lifetime friend, or even a future marital partner. We could find opportunities hitherto unknown. There may be an opportunity for employment that will raise our standard of living and grow our skill set to take advantage of future opportunities. Or there may be nothing at all. Perhaps that is why life is often referred to as a gamble. In most instances, it is indeed nothing good or bad. So why do we even bother to move forward? It is because, despite the risk of the bad, something good could be just ahead. Our approach is often shaped by our experience. If we have just had 30 bad experiences from walking around corners, we might turn around and go back to where we came from instead of risking further pain, even if we felt the odds favored our finding something good. But if all our experiences were good or neutral, we might walk boldly around that corner into overwhelming danger, and the game over music would begin to play over the scene of our ruin. While trepidation might seem appropriate for all corners, we are faced with one indisputable truth. The only way to know what is around that corner is to see, despite the exposure we face for attempting that. So we move forward to find the answer. We may not have the fabled 9 lives of cats, but curiosity can be just as strong in our hearts as that of the luckless, curious feline. This is how it is at the corner of Faith Street and Revelation Avenue. Abraham came upon that corner several times in his life. Doubtless this helped him achieve a place in the famous faith chapter, Hebrews chapter 11. He spent decades following God's call to move to Canaan, where his descendants would be numerous and would own the land promised. But he became old and tired and started to waver in his faith. Instead of continuing to move forward, he decided he couldn't wait any longer to see what was around the corner God was leading him to. He started to explore other streets, even though he did not fully know where they would lead. He considered making Eliezer, a slave given to him by Nimrod after their historic confrontation in Shinar, the heir of all he owned. But God flatly denied the viability of that option. Another path where he went beyond simple speculation was impregnating Sarah's servant Hagar to produce an heir. She gave birth to Ishmael. Even though Sarah offered Hagar to Abraham, she came to recognize her error, for in a patriarchal society, the son of a slave, could inherit everything and leave her with nothing. Therefore, Hagar became insolent toward Sarah, knowing that her son would soon be in charge. Sadly, Abraham was not one to own his mistakes, and eventually Hagar and Ishmael were cast out altogether. At this point, stories diverged from the Bible focusing on Abraham and Isaac, and Islam telling us that Abraham continued to also bless Ishmael and interact with him. Even though the narrative forks at this point, the Bible tends to support the Islamic account to a surprising degree. We are told that God would bless Ishmael, and nations and kings would be among his descendants. It strains credibility that Abraham would have little to do with Ishmael after God had blessed him in this way. According to Islamists, Hagar did not leave alone with Ishmael when she was finally cast out by Sarah, but Abraham accompanied them to the location that became Mecca, where Hagar discovered a spring after Abraham left and their water had run out. Others came to settle at that spring, and Mecca grew from that inauspicious beginning. Other than in childhood, the Bible has no record of animosity between Isaac and Ishmael, so it is likely that Abraham did visit Ishmael to see how he and his mother were doing, especially once Sarah had died. An Islamic tradition holds that Abraham assisted Ishmael in the construction of the Kaaba. This example shows how, even if we choose another path, rather than proceeding to the corner ahead, we will nonetheless be faced with other corners arising from consequences of our reticence that we cannot foresee. Abraham could not know that Sarah would develop such hatred toward Ishmael. Instead, he charged forward around that alternative corner with Sarah's encouragement, and absent God's blessing of Ishmael, despite Abraham's error, the results might have been dire. A second major time Abraham faced a faith corner was when he was told in a dream to sacrifice his son Isaac on Mount Moriah. This was where the temple would one day be built, and near where Jesus would be crucified. The symbolism is compelling. Type foreshadows anti-type. We might ask how Abraham could kill Isaac based on a dream. We're familiar with dreams and know they can just as easily be the results of that pickle we ate with dinner instead of the voice of God. But it was like when a family member or a close friend calls on the phone. All they must do is say hello, and we know instantly who it is. From long experience, we recognize their voice. Abraham knew it was God, so he gathered the wood, grabbed the knife, took Isaac in tow, and headed for the mount. This time, he was going forward around that corner. There would be no discussion with Sarah and exploration of alternate options. Even Isaac was unaware of what was transpiring until they reached the mount. He figured out something was amiss when he noticed they had the wood for the sacrifice and the knife, but they brought no animal for the offering. The Bible does not reveal what happened once Isaac uncovered the agenda. Did he resist? Whatever Isaac's response, he ended up bound and lying on the wood to be sacrificed. This brought Abraham to and around that faith corner, where he discovered a ram to be offered instead. God reveals his love for us in these instances. Of course, he is pleased with Abraham continuing to stay the course on Mount Moriah and reiterates his covenant with the patriarch, extending his loving blessing to all of Abraham's descendants, which includes Ishmael and his offspring. For Ishmael's inclusion, we need only reprise the terms of God's covenant with Abraham. The seal of that covenant was circumcision. And Ishmael was circumcised per the covenant before Isaac was even born. This constitutes the second and earlier example of God's love. Despite Abraham's erroneous lack of faith, God blesses Ishmael and his descendants anyway. Sarah might have wanted it otherwise, but since she incited Abraham's error, she made herself weak, losing the moral foundation for her hatred of Hagar and Ishmael. We're all flawed to a degree, whether it is because we go along with bad advice when faced with our own faith corners, or we simply withdraw from moving forward in faith. But God does not stop loving and blessing us because we falter. Instead, he blesses us despite our failure and continues to bring us repeatedly to these faith corners. Because unlike random corners we come across in life, God's faith corners always lead to a blessing in terms of our relationship with him, relationship with others, or our understanding of ourselves. This is the power of the Bible. Whether we accept it literally, metaphorically, or somewhere in between, it speaks to us in our present life experience, and because our experiences change over time, it always has something new to reveal to us about ourselves, flaws and all. Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary at our website, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.